Melachim Aleph, Perkei Ches, Pasuk Lamed Ches. Multiple Eish Hashem, Atoichal Esoila, Vesa Eitzim, Vesa Avonim, Vesa Ofer, Vesa Mayim, Asher Bata'ala, Lichecho. So, now we're finally getting to the Nes itself. The fire comes down from Shemaim and consumes the Oila first, because that's the main part of the Nes. That's the main part of the Korban, the Oila itself, the animal. And then Ha'etzim, which again are wet from all the water that they were pouring all over it. Ves Ha'avonim, the stones, the rocks themselves, Ves Ha'afar, and the dirt. Ves Ha'mayim Asher Bata'ala Lichecha. And it consumed the water as well. So yep. meaning
it was licked up.
Yeah, it licked up. It dried up all the water. Yeah, so there's no water left.
Yeah.
Yeah? No water, burned up all the water, as if it was kerosene or something like that.
Well, he says he burnt everything, the wood, the stones, and the water, and everything. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah, burnt everything. That was obviously a huge Nes. It was a little bit like when it says in the Makkah of Barad, the seventh Makkah in Mitzrayim, when the hail came down from Shemaim, inside the hail was
fire.
Yeah. So Rashi says, how could fire and ice exist to coexist? Rashi says, also Shalom Bedeim, they made peace. Oh, they made peace. That explains everything, right? Okay, now I understand. But no, the same thing over here. The fire consumed the water, which goes directly against nature. That was part of the Nes. Pasuk Lamed Tes, V'yar kol ha'om v'yiplu al paneihem v'yomru Hashem wo Elokim, Hashem wo Elokim. Everyone is totally taken by this major Nes he saw take place in front of their eyes, and they say Hashem wo Elokim. So they say it twice. First of all, Hashem, we know that Hashem wo Elokim, Hashem is God, because of the Nes we just witnessed. And the second time they're saying Hashem wo Elokim is just to say, what does it mean, Hashem Elokim? That God is, Hashem is our God, and there is nobody else. Meaning, that's coming on, that's coming as a result from seeing that the Baal are not God. So if the Baal are not God, it must be that Hashem is the only God, and there is nobody else, and definitely not the Baal.
Nothing happened with the Baal.
Right.
They were screaming and yelling, and nothing happened.
Exactly.
He was fireproof.
What's that?
Paul was fireproof.
Paul was fireproof, yes. V'yomer Elio lehem, tisis Nevi Baal. So Elio tells the people, catch, grab Nevi Baal. Ish alimot mehem veit pasum. Don't let anybody escape. So they grab them, v'yudum Elio al nachal kishoin v'yish chatim sham. So they brought them down to nachal kishoin, to the river. Kishon, and they slaughtered them. It was a pretty gory scene. You have 400 Nevi Baal all being slaughtered to death. Now, it's not clear exactly who did it. Either Elio, if he told the people to do it themselves, or did he himself do it just like Shmuel did. Shmuel also, when he found out that Shaul did not listen to him and did not kill out the whole nation of Amalek, he left Agag, the king. So Shmuel went at it himself. He took a knife, and obviously, you know, he was a wholesome person. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't this gang member who just pop people without thinking. But it was part of his kin, part of his zealousy. Can you say, is that a word? Yeah. What?
Being a zealot. All right.
Being a zealot. Yeah. Being a zealot to Hashem, He was so burning inside of him that he took it out himself.
These guys, that say they were worshiping the Baal. Were they Jewish or were they Goyim?
Do you mean the Nevi Baal themselves?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It sounds like they were Jewish. They were part of the Jewish people.
I think so, because. So who cares if the guy does big deal?
If what?
I mean, if the guy is whistling Baal, who cares? I mean, then,
right.
I mean, I mean, the reason I say I ask that is because, like you said, the king himself told them to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured maybe he had other, Jewish, or maybe he had the Gregorian people that he told do that. Because they didn't do it on themselves, you said. He told them he wants them to do that there. Even his wife didn't even say that they would do it. That's what you said before.
Right. We're actually going to get to his wife. We'll see how she reacts to all of this. Izebel. She's the notorious wicked woman.
It seems that he didn't believe in it either.
Ahab.
Yeah. He just wanted... He wanted to be the king, and he told them, do these things here, so.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't believe in himself.
Right. Right. So, we'll get to Ahab in a minute, how he reacted to all this.
Is there any reason to kill them or not?
Well, they were machti sarabim. One of the worst things a person can do is cause others to sin. That's the worst thing. The Gemara Sanhedrin talks about what do you do, how do you carry out a judgment by a Beis Din, right? If someone is being brought to Beis Din, and they're being charged for any particular avera. So typically, no matter what the avera was, the way the judgment is carrying out, as the Gemara says, poischin l'schus ve'ein poischin l'choiva. You always open up the judgment with a schus, right? With a reasoning, with an argument why this person is innocent. Meaning he's innocent until proven guilty. That's the narrative that we're trying to establish. So always, you always start with a schus, right? We open up with a schus, the schus because of whatever. There's only one avera in the Torah that this rule does not apply to. That one avera in the Torah is a maces, someone who is enticing, getting other people to sin, to do averas. Over there, if that person is brought to a Beis Din, over there, poiskim l'chayva. You start off with an argument to show his detriment, to show why he's actually guilty. We see from there the severity of someone trying to cause others to do sin.
And all of them were nevim.
Sorry.
They were nevim.
They weren't real nevim. They were nevi sheker.
No, but this is where. They were false.
Yeah, they were false.
Not the same as the real Nevi.
Yeah, they were false prophets.
It's not from.
No. No connection to Hashem at all.
They're
all false. Yeah. We see clearly that they had no connection because they were davening to Hashem, and they did not get answered at all. Right.
They are fake and they actually want to replace real Hashem by him. Wow. No, but for them, not Hashem, but wow, it's real God.
Well, they believe that the Baal is a real God, yes. But, you know, that was obviously wrong. The Baal is nothing. It's nothing. It's just an idol. It has no power.
But they actually believe that, or this is everything is fake?
Yeah, they actually believed it. Yeah. They actually believed it, yes. It's a question of Ahav himself, as you mentioned before, it's a question of Ahav himself actually believed it. That's a separate issue. But these prophets, it sounds like they were actually... They themselves believe that we can see as they were, you know, screaming and they were cutting themselves. We can see that they're clearly gearing it towards the way they understood the Baal works. Right? They did it during the day, during the afternoon when the Baal is strong, so to speak. They didn't just do it in a vacuum.
Because What school of Baal did he go to?
Right.
No, I mean, where did they get the idea?
Where did they learn it from? I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean,
when you're growing up, your parents teach you certain things.
What?
When you're growing up, your parents teach you certain
where
things.
Where did they get it? Where did the parents get it? Where did the idea of the Baal come from?
Yeah, it's a good question. Good question. I don't know where it came from. But
it seems whatever.
Somebody
enticed the people to do this. Probably.
Where does any of our desire come from? Where any of our desire comes right now, today's day and age, it's very hard for us to relate and to understand what idol worship is. Where does it come from? Why should someone worship the sun? Like, well, why should I worship the sun? Why should I worship the earth? Why should I worship the wind? Right? Because today, in today's day and age, we're very developed when it comes to technology, when it comes to science and all of that. But we're very underdeveloped when it comes to spirituality. Back in the day, if you look at Native Americans, for example, they refer to the spirit of the wind, the spirit of the earth. Right. Where are they getting it from? Is that some ridiculous, you know, myth that they have that there's some kind of spirit to the earth? No. Because the way Hashem created the world, every physical entity has a spiritual force behind it. The Gemara talks about how every single blade of glass has a malach, an angel, that's whipping it and telling it to grow. Meaning, every tiny little piece of physicality has a spiritual entity that gives it life force. We find different references to this. Every nation has a spiritual force. We find that when the Jewish people were left Egypt, they were standing on the edge of the Red Sea. They see the Egyptians chasing after them, and they got really scared. Rashi says, "What were they scared of? Why were they scared? Because they saw the angel of the Egyptians running after them." What does that mean? They saw that the spiritual entity behind the nation of Egypt still existed, was still there, was still alive and kicking. And that's what made them scared. The fact that that spiritual entity is, so to speak, chasing them and threatening them. So we do see every physical entity, the sun, has a spiritual force behind it. So what people are, what idol worshippers are tapping into is exactly that. They're tapping into the spiritual force, the malach, the angel, so to speak, of that's behind the physical, right, that physical entity.
But the thing is, their mistake is they think that God originally made all this, and he left it that way.
Right. Their mistake. Yeah, you're right. It's a mistake. For
now,
sure.
Now the sun is being controlled by this entity.
Right.
God made it, and he says, okay.
Exactly.
You take it, so that's what they...
Right, it's definitely a mistake.
Well, that's what I say, when the people, they started believing everything that God made was left alone, and they themselves are doing all these things now.
Mm-hmm.
And even like the sun shines now because God wants it to shine. He keeps it shining. They believe, no, he made the sun, they made the sun to shine, he left it alone. And what keeps the sun going? This entity. It's not God himself.
Right.
He finishes job, and yeah, it goes by himself.
Right, right. Right, but again, they're tapping into something that's real. It's not taking place in a vacuum, like, oh, there's nothing there, and they're like, oh, let's smile down to the sun. No, it's actually a real... There is real spirituality over there. For us, it's hard to understand because we're not really developed in that area that much. So to us, it doesn't make sense. Well, what's the spirit of the wind? Well, where is that coming from? But in reality, it's a real thing. It does exist. It's not just some made up nonsense. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I answer your question, Arkady? Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Picture is really crude. 400 people were killed.
Yeah, No, you're right. Tulsa seems very cruel. It's just like, you know, kill 400 people, you know. But
I always said, made it like you have a toy, electric trains,
mm-hmm.
right? You put them together, and what makes them go? Electricity. Stick on the wall, the electricity makes it go. And I say is, it's not, and so the thing with, everything that happens with us is God is our electricity. It's not a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the electricity is not making it go. God made the electricity and he keeps it going. He keeps it going, and you might think it goes by itself afterwards. When he left it alone, no. If God took away his power from it, if you pulled the plug, it wouldn't go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what I'm getting at.
All right, but your mail is your whole.
Yeah, I hear. Okay, so let's see, Victor. So it sounds like they were fasting. They were fasting until now, and Eliyahu himself was definitely fasting because he was praying for the nace. He was davening for this miracle to happen, for the fire to come down. but it sounds like all the people themselves were also fasting because they were praying for rain. They were praying for the rain to come. Because remember, this is a drought. There's been a drought for a few years. There hasn't been any water. And just like you pray when there's like a major, some kind of major trouble, major issue, you pray. So to now, they're praying for the rain to come, and that's why they're fasting. So what Leo is saying, okay, the fast can stop, even though it did not start raining yet, but because the source of the trouble is gone, then we're guaranteed that it's going to rain now, and you can stop your fast, and you can go ahead and eat. Yeah. Okay.
He says, set that right here.
Yeah. Yeah, Pasuk Mem Beis. So Achav goes ahead and he starts his meal. Ve'eliyahu olel Rosh HaKarmel. Ve'igar Artsa ve'yosem Ponov bin Mirkov. So Eliyahu is not yet stopping his fast. He is going up to the Sahara Carmel, to the mountain. I guess that was the highest mountain in the area.
Ma'alit.
Sorry? Ma'alit? Elevator.
No, it's Namal.
Namal is port.
And you go further up. It's, I forgot already.
Yeah.
All right,
in any case. So he goes up to the Har HaKarmel, he goes up to the mountain, and he has a very unique way of praying, of davening. He puts his head between his legs, basically like between his knees, like
bent
completely
over.
Bent over, putting his head there. And so what is he davening for? So because the source of the problem, the Nevi'e Baal, is not here anymore, so there should be, right, what is he davening for? There's no avodah zarah, there's no idol worship, so it should start raining, right? So that's true, that's definitely true. But what's going to happen right now is that Hashem is going to bring the rain in a natural way. Meaning naturally, meaning until now there was a drought. Hashem stopped the rain. Meaning even though it's supposed to rain naturally,
no clouds.
Hashem stopped the rain. There were no clouds, no rain. It was a supernatural event that Hashem stopped the rain. There was no natural rain. So when now the idol worship is removed, so now the rain can resume in a natural sense. But what does that mean? That means that it's going to rain. The next time, it's naturally supposed to happen, right? The clouds will come, whatever, you know, according to the weather forecast, in, you know, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, right? So what Eliyahu was davening for, Eliyahu is now davening that it should rain right now, right away.
Unnatural.
Right, meaning an unnatural, supernatural rain. Supernatural rain that's not going to happen in a natural way because they want it to be clear. They want it to show the Jewish people that Hashem answered our tefillas, Hashem answered our davening, so to speak, and now the rain is coming in a supernatural way, right away. Because again, to show that correlation between the removing of the idol worship and the rain coming. So the Rabban here says a very interesting explanation. He says the reason why he went up to the mountain of Carmel was because he says any place that the air is more pure, more thin, I guess.
Thinner, yeah.
Is
to breed.
Yeah, is a more spiritual place. And that's the place where the shefa, where the plenty will come down to in a more readily be brought to such a place. That's why he went up to the higher Carmel, where the air was more pure and more thin, more, yeah. That's why he went down all the way up there. And the reason why he put his head between his knees, and again, completely bending his body over, is because that is the way of hachna, of being humble, of showing Hashem that I'm putting myself in front of you completely, and I have nothing of me at all. And that way Hashem will answer his davening right away, because he does not want his prophet to be in such anguish. So the more he's putting himself in anguish, the quicker Hashem will answer his prayer, because he doesn't want his prophet Elio to be in such pain, so to speak. Okay, next pasuk mem gimel. Vayomer el Naray. Elio turns to one of his men and he says, "Aleinu habet derech yam. I want you to go ahead and check the front of the ocean. Har Carmel. For anyone who doesn't know Israeli geography, Har Carmel is right there. It's like right near Haifa, like right there on the sea line." Right in the Mediterranean Sea. And so he's telling one of his men to go out and check and see by the ocean to see if there are any clouds coming in from the ocean. So he goes ahead, he checks to see if there are any clouds coming in, and he says, "No, I checked, there's nothing coming." So this went on back and forth 7 times. And what happened? The seventh time that he sent his man to go see if there are any clouds coming in from the ocean, the man comes back. There's a small little cloud, the size of a palm, of the palm of a person's hand, coming from the ocean. So he says, "Okay, now that's a sign that the rain will come forth, and it's not going to stop." So what's the whole deal over here with the 7 times? Why do you have to go back and forth 7 times? And this like tiny little cloud shows up the size of a person's palm. What's the deal with that? So the Malbim kind of taps into a little bit of a mystical thought. And he says that he refers to the Yam Ha'Elyon, the ocean of the heavens. The ocean of the heavens is the ocean where all the rivers go to, and that ocean comes from 7 different oceans. And what happened was when this drought started because of Eliyahu, because the people were engaged in idol worship, the Shechina went up to the seventh Rukia. Again, there's different in mysticism you talk about the different heavens that are all leveled, and each heaven is different, has different energy, And the Hashem's presence went up all the way to the seventh heaven, that hence the term, the expression seventh heaven. And so every time Eliyahu started davening, he's kind of bringing down Hashem's presence from the seventh heaven all the way down to this physical world. And that's why the seventh time when the man went back to from the ocean, he saw this little cloud coming in the size of a palm. He says, well, why is it the size of a man's palm? That's referring to one man, meaning the reason why it's raining now is because of one man. That is Eliyahu. It's only because of Eliyahu. And then when Eliyahu heard this, that this cloud is the size of one man's palm, then he knew that that's going to lead to the rain. And he told Ahav that you can go home, you have nothing to worry about, the rain will now come. It's all good.
Well, he brings down, he wants to prove. He wants to prove that the reason you didn't have any rain before is because you were sinning.
Right. Right.
And he's now, right. Now that you did tshuva.
Yeah.
So, all right, he did tshuva. So, it'll rain when it's supposed to rain. He didn't want that. He wanted it to help right now so they could realize why the rain stopped. You know, they didn't figure they did anything wrong. They were doing these things. They keep doing it, so they don't think they do anything wrong. Actually, they were sinning, so the rain stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The rain stopped. So now that the rain's coming back naturally, right? They would think, well, if so, it would go to rain anyway, even if we didn't do it. It back. So he wanted to prove to them that that's not the reason it's raining now. It's only raining because you did complete tshuva,
right,
and you realized you did wrong.
Yeah.
That's why Eliyahu went through all this thing to him.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, we have 5 more minutes. Let's try to get to the end of the parak.
Come on, let's finish. Let's finish till we get there. You can ask the questions later.
What do you want?
What were we going to say, though? What?
No, it was just like you said before, when we started the whole thing. The people said, what do you mean? It'll rain tomorrow. It'll rain. He knocked it out of my head, but I want to say.
Yeah, right, that's true. That's true. Okay, but next pasuk, Vayilad Koy Bad Koy Vashemayim Iskadru Avim. Meanwhile, in a very short while, the clouds are coming over the ocean, Viruach. So these heavy, thick clouds are coming over, and this wind, Vayigeshem Gadol, this major rain begins. Vayirkav Achav Vayilech Yisraelah. And Achav goes ahead and he goes towards Israel. And the hand of Hashem is with Eliyahu and he strengthens himself. And he runs over, he runs in front of Achav until Israel. So the reason why Eliyahu is now running in front of Achav, that is a sign of respect. So every king had men running in front of his chariot to show that was a sign of, you know, respect, of honor, of, you know, so an indinguished personality. And so, you know, what Achav is doing right now is what Eliyahu is doing right now is he's running in front of the chariot of Achav to show that he respects Achav, because from now on Achav now turned away from the Baal, from the idol worship, and he's now believes in Hashem and he's following Eliyahu. So now, because of that, Eliyahu says, okay, you're doing tshuva, you're returning your ways back to Hashem. So now he's showing a sign of respect and he's running in front of him. And Hashem gave him the strength, the ability to go ahead and do this. It's obviously not a simple feat to run in front of a chariot,
especially when you're an old man.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how old Elio was, but he wasn't a youngster, that's for sure. So Hashem gave him the ability, the strength, to go in and do this. Okay, so before we finish, we have one more minute. The Ralbag kind of speaks along the same lines that the Malbim says, and he says the only reason Hashem answered the tefillah of Eliyahu was just because of the sorrow, the pain that he was in, that he put himself in, and really the Jewish people, because of the Jewish people, there was no reason to answer to bring rain right away, to bring forth rain right away. It was really purely just because of Eliyahu. If not for him, the Jewish people would not merit. The fact that they did tshuva, they returned back to Hashem, was not enough. It was only in the merit of Eliyahu that it started raining. Okay, we'll stop here.
I think the second stop is